أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد العين الرحمة الربانية الذي جاء بالحق من الحق، وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. ورضى الله عن شيخنا وقدوتنا القطب الأعظم أبو العباس شيخ أحمد التجاني، الذي هو العين الحق التي تتجلى منها العروش الحقائق، عين المعارف صراطك تام الأسقام، وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. ورضى الله عن خليفته الشيخ الإسلام وسعادة الأنام الحاجي إبراهيم نياس، الذي هو طلعة الحق بالحق، كنز الأعظم، وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. ألا أيها الممدوح يا أفضل الورى، ويا أيها المحمود ذا الحمد واللوى، بسرك بالذات العلية باسمها، وبالرسل والبيت الحرام وبالقرى جميعا، وبالذكر الحكيم وأهله، والأسماء والأفلاك والنجم والثرى، دعوت لنفسي ثم أمي ووالدي وصحبي وأحبابي وأهلي ومن قرأ هدى وجدا علما ورزقا ورفعة وأمنا وإيمانا يزيد إلى الأخرى، وتقوى وجهدا واتلاء وحكمة وعافية بعد الإنابة للمولى. زد العلم فينا واكفنا شر جملة، وصلنا جميعا عن غرور وعن هوى. هبوت لنا الإيمان زده وأبقه، الموت حقا ثم زده لنا اللقيا. أما بعد، distinguished brothers and sisters in this blessed group, Al Irshad Al Umma, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I wish to apologize for not starting immediately after making the announcement. It was due to insurmountable challenges. Amma alhamdulillah, most of them have been overcome. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to keep us upon the straight path. Now, today being the 25th day of Rajab, the year 1441 AH, which coincides with the 20th of March 2020, inshallah, we are going to commence Tajwid lessons on this blessed group, Irshad al-Ummah, which is sponsored by Timsan ABU Zaria. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us the ability to see this good work through. One thing that I would like to start with is the fact that beginning every good work is always an improvement to the people who are interested in it and who partake in it. And we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not count us amongst those who will backslide in good works. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should continue to assist us in improving in everything good, and that he should continue to assist us in desisting from everything that is bad. Now, like we have already shared earlier in the group, inshallah, the book we are going to be using as a reference book is Al-Hidayat Al-Mustafid, and the PDF version will be shared together with this audio, inshallah. Now, Hidayat al-Mustafid is the book, like we said, is a reference book, which means it's not necessary that we must read it page by page. Sometimes we might decide to bring a particular topic forward or bring a particular topic backwards, and so on and so forth, just as we might deem fit, inshallah. So we hope that the lesson series would not exceed 10 lessons, inshallah. But if it does, then we hope that it will all be to our benefit. The month of Ramadan is fast approaching, as we know. Today, at least, we have at most we have at 35 days to Ramadan. So as part of the preparations for Ramadan, it's customary for us to revisit our Quran and also to engage in acts that will put us into Ramadan spirit, such as making dua for the month of Ramadan. As has been reported from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he used to pray for Ramadan for as much as 6 months before Ramadan. Now, so the mawdu of this particular discussion, inshallah, is about the tajweed. And I used to hear before my teacher tell me that there was once a scholar who asked one of his students that, his student was an old man as well, he was about 45 years old, and he asked him, he said, "Oh, my student, are you aware that Ramadan is coming?" And the student said, "Yes." He said, "Ramadan is in less than 30 days. What have you prepared for Ramadan?" Then the student said, "Ah, he hasn't prepared anything. But let him go and try and see if he can memorize the Quran." And that particular man memorized 2 juz'i per day, and two hizb per day. And in 30 days, he memorized the entire Quran just because he wanted to prepare for Ramadan. So this is how the pious men used to prepare for Ramadan. This is how the pious men used to prepare for Ramadan. So we also don't want to be left out. So we want to remind ourselves about the issues of tajweed. Like we said earlier, this lesson is basically based on the tajweed for reciting Quran for halves and asim, and in the style of Shatibiyya. For anybody who wishes to learn another style of recitation, inshallah, we have teachers who can take care of that. But meanwhile, this class, the tajweed of this class will be basically based on this, inshallah. So since it's an introductory class, we would not say much. What we want to talk about is a little bit of the excellence of reciting the Holy Quran. Then we can talk about a little bit of some manners that we are expected to exercise when we are going to recite the Quran. And we can also see one or two things and then run up from there, inshallah. Now, we don't have to talk much about the excellence of reciting the Quran. I believe everybody already knows how great a reward, you know, we can get from reciting the Holy Quran. Because Rasulullah ﷺ says that man qala alifun alif la mim, whoever says alif la mim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to reward him for each harf, for each alphabet, 10 rewards. And these 10 rewards, you know, is always multiplied, especially for people who have the understanding of that. And I thank Allah that we are, I mean, most of us here, we are Sufi, so I don't have to stress much about that. But the excellence of reciting the Quran cannot be overemphasized, based on the fact that there is a reward for each alphabet, and this reward can be multiplied to as much as 70 times. So imagine, just by saying alif lam mim, you get 10 reward for each alphabet multiplied by 17. So, and that's huge. That's absolutely huge. And this reward does not only stop at the person who is an expert. Rasulullah says that reward will be double for a person who doesn't even know how to recite it properly. If you can recite it very well, fluently and fine, everything is okay, you have so and so reward. But if you recite it with difficulty, Rasulullah said that you're going to have double reward. Also, in the recitation of Quran is a solution for every problem, every worry, everything, whether worldly or in the hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put the solution in the Holy Quran. Ma faratna min kitab min shay. Allah has not left anything out of this Quran. It includes your problem, my problem, and the problem to come, the problems of the past, the problem in the future. Everything has already been recorded in the Holy Quran. And by reciting the Holy Quran, inshallah, we can be able to overcome those problems. And even if the Quran doesn't have any of these excellences, there is also Shifa, okay? Al-Quran can also intercede for us. And there are lots of things, but I don't want us to waste much time on that, because I kind of understand that at least We all understand these basic facts. But even if the Quran doesn't have any of these, one great thing for us to take note of is the fact that the Quran is the word of Allah. Now Allah Azza wa Jalla is the one who created you, and He is the one, who also sent a Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to us. And forget about every other thing. There is no blessing greater than Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Just imagine that. Forget about you are alive. Forget about that you can talk or you can breathe or you can walk or you fed today or anything. Just think about the fact that Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala sent you Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Do you know how much happiness you feel each day? Just because you know that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was sent to you. Now that kind of happiness, you should also understand that the person who sent that person, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, had sent certain words to you, Al-Quran. So it's necessary for us to recite Al-Quran. Shaykh Ibrahim Yasir used to say, كَذَلِكَ مِنْ حُبِّهِ حُبِّ تِلَاوَةٍ. It is out of the love I have for Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and out of the love that I have for Allah Jalla wa Ala that I love to recite the Holy Quran. And then he also used to say, Wa anni ubaydullahi atlu kitabahu. Indeed, I am the servant of Allah. I am the tiny servant of Allah, the little servant of Allah. Atlu kitabahu. I used to recite his book. Wa dhalika fakhran. And this is an issue of pride. Ayu fakhran ka adlihi. Is there any other issue of pride that can be equal to this particular issue of pride? And Shaykh Ibrahim also used to pray. He said, Alayhi salatullahi thumma salamuhu. Peace and blessings of Allah be upon Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Li'abqi wa inni qari'u dhikri hafidhu. By the effect of this particular blessings of salat unto the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, may Allah make it possible for me to continue to remain upon my path of reciting al-dhikr. And also memorizing it. So Shaykh Ibrahim Yas radiallahu anhu always used to recite the Quran. Always used to recite the Quran. We were told by Shaykh Prof. Abdullah Al-Okeni that Shaykh Ibrahim Yas used to recite the entire Quran in 7 days. He recites it in 7 days. And if you're going to divide 60 JZE by 7 days, that gives you roughly around about 8.5 or 8.6 GZE. Hizbi, sorry. We are used to saying Hizbi, GZE and everything like that. But if you take the 60 Hizbi of the Quran and you divide it by 7, that's around 8.5 or 8.6 Hizbi per day. So, and he used to recite it in a day. I recite that same part in the night. So if Shaykh Ibrahim should recite the part 8.56 Hizbi in the daytime, in the night again he would recite that particular Hizbi. So he used to finish the Quran twice in a week. That's twice in a week. And he does this continuously. As a matter of fact, even while he was sick and he was admitted in the hospital in London, it was said that if you come to visit Sheikh, you don't have to ask where his room was. His room was in the topmost floor, but if you just enter the hospital, you can hear his voice. He's reciting the Quran. So now we already know that Shaykh Ibrahim is our role model, and see how much time he dedicates to the Holy Quran. Now, based on that dedication, it means something to us. It means something to us. It means that we also have to make dedication for reciting the Holy Quran. Now, let's leave that a bit and move down to the manners of reciting the Holy Quran. One of the manners that we want to talk about while reciting the Holy Quran, the first thing is purity. Purity of your body and your clothes. It's not supposed to be for a believer to pick up the Quran without an ablution. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّهُ لَقُرْآنٌ كَرِيمٌ فِي كِتَابٍ مَكْنُونَ لَا يَمَسُّهُ إِلَّا الْمُطَهَّرُونَ. Nobody touches it unless the person who is pure. Although some people say this is referring to Lawhul Mahfuz. Lawhul Mahfuz is concealed with Allah Adama. Nobody can touch it. Nobody else can touch it except the pure. So whether it's Lawhul Mahfuz, so if you think about it logically, there is no point saying that. But even if there is points, so what is in that Lawhul Mahfuz that made Allah to say nobody touches it unless the pure? He says, Innahu la Quranun Kareem. The thing that was Jadama was Al Quran. So if Al Quran stopped people who were impure from touching it, from touching Lawhul Mahfuz, then the Quran that was sent to this earth should also stop us from touching it. And I think I also heard one fatwa from a person who happens to be a Wahhabi, and then he says, okay, it's makruh. Yani, it's not haram. You can touch it, amma it's makruh. It's not liked. And I felt like that was a very, very fair one. But you know, for us as Sufi, makruh for us is also haram, as a matter of fact, because you are maqam al-iman. A person who is a stage of maqam al-iman does not consider makruh to be something you engage in, because makruh is for people in maqam al-islam. So for us now, inshallah, alhamdulillah, we are maqam al-iman. So anything that is makruh, dama, we shouldn't go close to it. And anything that is mustahab for a person who is maqam al-islam, for us, it's like wajib. So that's the way it is. So we should always try to ensure that we are safe from both major and minor impurities, inshallah. And then the second manner of reciting the Quran is saying, A'udhu billahi minashaitanir rajim. Yani al-isti'adha. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us this order directly from the Holy Quran, so we won't be saying much about that as well. Then also you want to try as much as possible not to be pausing while reciting the Quran to talk or to watch something or something. You just speak, even if it's 10 minutes you want to recite the Quran, please carry that 10 minutes and sit down and just recite the Quran the way it is. Because sometimes some abrupt pauses in the Holy Quran can mean certain things that are other than the intentions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And by the nature of Quran, it's a very powerful book, and the words are very powerful, so you don't joke with them. You do not joke with them. So you always try and ensure that your recitation is proper, and that you don't bring up cuts, inshallah, while reciting the Holy Quran. Now, there is also the issue of reciting it properly. Now, you want to recite the Quran, and there is that issue of tajweed that has to come into play. Because, yeah, the Quran is in Arabic. Bilisan in Arabic, mubin. It is in manifest Arabic, clear Arabic. And Rasulullah taught it in Arabic. And how can we claim to be the lovers of Rasulullah? And then we recite the Quran any way we want when Rasulullah taught it in a different way. And Sheikh Ramiyas Batalan, who used to say that Arabic is a very delicate language, and even a dot can change the meaning of something in Arabic. So how much more Ikisra or Ifatha, and so on and so forth. There are lots of examples our Nahu scholars always used to bring up whenever issues like this, you know, are being discussed. But if you look at it, you see that just by changing a little thing, just a slight thing in the Holy Quran, you could change the meaning entirely. So it's necessary for us to understand how to recite it, and for us to also apply the laws or the rules of tajweed while reciting it. We should also recite the Quran with concentration, and even if we're not the ones reciting it, we should also learn to be quiet and to pay listening ear to someone who's reciting the Quran. These are part of the respect that, you know, the Quran, you know, demands from us. So we won't go deep into this, inshallah. I'll just share the book, the PDF copy of the book, and I hope that the members who are interested will just pick a glance through that book, inshallah, Al-Hidayat Al-Mustafid. And subsequently, inshallah, we are going straight into the book to bring out the rules for reciting tajweed. Also, there is an issue of the ruling for tajweed recitation. Is it compulsory for us to recite with tajweed? Yes, it is compulsory for everybody to recite with tajweed. But it's not compulsory for everybody to know how to teach tajweed. If some people know how to teach tajweed for fardul kifaya, then labas. But but everybody has to know how to recite it. But we live in a world now, and you know what's happening. And soon enough, everything is going to become unsafe. Wallahi, everything is going to become unsafe. Now there is an issue of coronavirus, you see, you can't go to school anymore. Tomorrow, only Allah knows what the issue might be. Islamiyama, it might become a problem. So it's not going to, we pray that Allah will safeguide us, and we pray that it doesn't get to that extent. But just in case it does, it is necessary for us to understand some of these things, because tomorrow we are also going to be responsible for certain people who we call kids or children. So we don't want to live in a world whereby there is retrogression. You know how to recite Quran, you recite Diwani, mashallah, and your child is, you know, behaving anyhow. So you also want to learn how to teach it as well. So inshallah, we hope that this class is going to be beneficial to us. And like we said, for our next class, inshallah, is going to come directly, and we are going straight into the issues to be discussed. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.